New York, the world in review. This is Don Bob reporting. In the news this week, the Security Council authorizes an increase in the number of troops for the UN Protection Force. It's been quiet in Sarajevo after a weekend of intense fighting. The Bosnian Serbs released all the remaining peacekeepers they have been holding hostage. The Security Council condemns the offensive actions and the intimidation of personnel of the UN Confidence Restoration Operation in Croatia. Secretary General Boutros-Ghali warns that unless a solution is found, the UN will begin its 50th anniversary as a debt-encumbered organization. The Secretary General appreciates the support expressed by the group of seven industrialized nations for the role of the United Nations. These are the stories in this week's World in Review. The Security Council has authorized an increase of up to 12,500 troops for the UN Protection Force ANPR-4. This to allow for the establishment of a rapid reaction capacity to enable ANPR-4 to carry out its mandate. The modalities for the financing of the force will be determined at a later date. The Secretary General was requested in taking decisions with respect to the deployment of ANPR-4 personnel to take full account of the need to enhance the security and minimize the dangers to which they might be exposed. Acting under the enforcement provisions of the Charter, the Council also demanded that the parties to the conflict, the Bosnian government forces and the Bosnian Serbs, fully respect the safety of ANPR-4 personnel and others engaged in the delivery of humanitarian assistance, and ensure their complete freedom of movement. The Council's resolution was adopted by a vote of 13 in favor to none against, with two abstentions, China and the Russian Federation. Explaining his abstention, Ambassador Sergei Lavrov of the Russian Federation said that the resolution left the impression that it was addressed only against one of the parties to the conflict.
The use of force is not a panacea, and that decisive actions are needed in order to achieve a breakthrough for a political settlement.
China, which also abstained, said a rapid reaction force would change the peacekeeping status of the UN Protection Force ANPR-4. Ambassador King Guzan.
Calls have been made specifically for the further expansion of the ANPR-4 strength before some major issues are resolved in total disregard of the basic principles governing peacekeeping operations. There has been no such precedent in the history of the United Nations peacekeeping operation, and may not be beneficial to this operation either.
The additional forces were offered by the governments of France, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom. And as a representative of the United Kingdom, Sir David Hannay points out, the adoption of the resolution is a clear demonstration of international resolve and a commitment to the work of the United Nations in Bosnia.
These reinforcements mean that for the first time, the United Nations commanders will have at their disposal a credible rapid reaction capability. It will strengthen ANPR-4's ability to defend itself, increase the range of options open to the UN commanders to respond robustly against attacks on ANPR-4, and facilitate ANPR-4's ability to carry out its mandate effectively, including to resupply its own troops.
Meanwhile, the United Kingdom's Secretary of State for Defense says the United Nations member states have welcomed the rapid reaction force that the United Kingdom, France, and the Netherlands are providing to strengthen the UN force in Bosnia. Mr. Malcolm Rifkin told UN correspondents that the situation in Bosnia is very difficult at the moment.
We're all conscious of the very big problems that exist, but it's worth emphasizing what the United Nations has already achieved in much of central Bosnia. There is much greater peace than there has been for the last 2 or 3 years. Where we do have a very major problem is in the deterioration in Sarajevo and in the enclave. It's crucially important for the United Nations to have the additional protection that the Rapid Reaction Force will provide. There's already significant British forces that have arrived in Bosnia. They will be carrying out that role, as will those who follow them.
Military activity in and around Sarajevo and other parts of Bosnia has tapered off after a weekend of intense fighting. UN spokesman Fred Eckert.
The overall situation in Bosnia has been deteriorating and basically sinking back into a warfare mode, with the attendant collapse of many of the agreements that helped underpin the uneasy peace that prevailed earlier this year.
Spokesman for Eckert cited the heavy weapons agreement as an example. He says the force commander has spurred back the remaining peacekeepers from the weapons collection sites around Sarajevo, half of which had already been overrun by the Serbs.
And that the other half, the conditions of the peacekeepers were such that they could not effectively function as monitors of a collapsed regime. And, of course, they were vulnerable to the kind of hostage-taking that we've seen happen in the past.
The peacekeepers, however, continue to be posted at certain key observation posts, where they cast play a useful role, primarily in the interpositioning between government and Serb forces around Sarajevo and in the eastern enclave. UN officials, meanwhile, say some of the 560 Canadian peacekeepers blockaded at their base in Visoko have been able to leave their camp. Bosnian government forces have been blocking the Canadians and curtailing their freedom of movement for over a week. Besides the Canadians, the Bosnian government forces are also blockading 86 Ukrainian peacekeepers in Gorica. However, officials report that the situation of the 560 Canadian troops is becoming more serious. Deputy spokesman in Zagreb, Chris Dunnes, says it's now a matter of urgency that the situation be resolved.
Because you have a situation where there's 8 mines in front of the gate. And there's also reports that a UN helicopter lands in the camp. And the CIH told the UN that if that happened again, they would shoot the helicopter down. Now, that is a very serious threat to the safety and security of UN personnel.
Meanwhile, members of the Security Council have expressed concern at the fact that unpreferred personnel continue to be blocked by Bosnian government forces. Council President is Detlef Graf-Zuranzau of Germany.
Members of the Council stress the need for a solution to this problem with the effect that the blockade of the unpreferred personnel in question comes to a speedy end.
And the last 26 UN peacekeepers held hostage by the Bosnian Serbs have been released. The peacekeepers, released in mid-June after a week of captivity, were greeted in Zagreb by Special Representative Yasuji Akashi and the Force Commander, General Jean-Vier. The Security Council has condemned the continuation of offensive actions and the intimidation of the personnel of the UN Confidence Restoration Operation in Croatia, UNCRO. The Council noted the Secretary General's judgment that completion of the redeployment of UNCRO personnel in Croatia by June 30th is no longer possible. As such, it requests the Secretary General to proceed expeditiously with that redeployment with the aim of fulfilling all of UNCRO's tasks on its mandate. In a presidential statement, the Council demanded that the parties, the government of Croatia and the Croatian Serbs, cooperate with UNCRO's efforts. It also reiterated its warning that if all parties did not refrain from further military action, further steps would be considered to ensure such compliance. Council President Detlef Graf-Zuranzau of Germany.
The Security Council notes the fact that both parties have stated their desire that the peacekeeping mission should continue and are seeking UNCRO's assistance. The Security Council could not countenance moves by the local Serb authorities and the Republic of Croatia and the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina to establish a union between them, since this would be inconsistent with the Council's commitment to the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Republic of Croatia and the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina. The Security Council stresses that there can be no military solution to the conflict and calls upon the parties to reaffirm their commitment to a peaceful resolution of their differences.
Secretary General Boutros-Boutros-Ghali says that unless a solution is found, the United Nations will commence its 50th anniversary as a debt-encumbered organization, lacking the financial resources to carry out the mission that member states intended to perform. In a statement to the high-level open-ended working group on the financial situation of the United Nations, the Secretary General said that as of May 31st, the United Nations had debts of $1.5 billion, including some $800 million owed to member states for their troop and equipment contributions to peacekeeping. At the same time, the Secretary General says, member states owed the organization some $2.8 billion for assessments levied but not paid.
Member states, unfortunately, continue to assess themselves for the expenses of the organization while they continue not to pay the assessments they have voted. It is only because of the prompt payments of assessments by a small number of states that the United Nations continues to operate. It is my duty, therefore, to tell you in the most serious terms that the financial crisis is deepening.
The Secretary General describes the prospects for the coming months as quite bleak. He cautions that unless member states pay up their assessments, he will have no choice but to further reduce spending on those activities for which no assessments have been approved. Secretary General Boutros Ghali has expressed appreciation for the sentiments expressed by the heads of state and government of the seven major industrialized countries at their G7 weekend summit, which concluded in Halifax, Nova Scotia in mid-June. Dia Bailey reports.
The Secretary General welcomes the commitment expressed by the G7 leaders to work with United Nations organizations and all their members to help the United Nations system face the challenges of the next century. A UN spokesman says the Secretary General appreciates the support expressed in the communique for the role of the United Nations as a unique forum for consensus building on global priorities, as an advocate for core values, and as an agent to respond to development and humanitarian needs. The spokesman says the Secretary General welcomes these suggestions in the communique for further enhancing the effectiveness and coherence of the United Nations system in the economic, social, and environmental fields, and in the humanitarian area. The Secretary General also appreciates the call on member states to meet their financial obligations and for early agreement on reform of the system of assessment. This is Diane Bailey.
The Security Council mission to Western Sahara says there is continuing suspicion and lack of trust between the two parties, the government of Morocco and the Frente Polisario. We have a report from Helen Shafton.
In a report on its visit to the region undertaken early June, the Council mission says as a result, technical problems that could easily have been resolved had there been goodwill have become politicized and blown out of proportion, with each party blaming the other for the lack of progress. The mission is of the view that this could make it nearly impossible for the UN mission for the referendum in Western Sahara, MINURSO, to meet its objectives unless both parties improved their performance. As a result of the continuing delay, the mission expresses concern that the time necessary to perform the functions associated with the identification process and other aspects of the settlement plan may not be sufficient. And it says there is a real risk that the identification process may have to be extended and that the referendum may not be held in January 1996. The mission, however, acknowledges that some progress has been made in the identification process in recent weeks and underscores that while fairness must be guaranteed, such progress will have to be sustained and improved significantly to allow the referendum to take place early next year. I'm Helen Shafton.
That ends this edition of The World in Review. The program was produced by the International Staff of Central News in the Media Division of the Department of Public Information. Our production assistant is Helen Shafton, our engineer, Howard Silverberg. I'm John Barr.